Welcome to the Jazzcast, the podcast dedicated to curated listening sessions with jazz musicians. What you're listening to right now is from composer and trumpet player Elliot Hughes, and he is a large ensemble writer from Australia, and he is actually stateside right now. And so I wanted to put this podcast up because the Bohemian Caverns Jazz Orchestra is going to be performing his music on August 11th, which is next Monday, actually maybe 2 Mondays from now. And also he is having his music performed at the Jazz Gallery on Tuesday, August 12th, and at Andy Music on Wednesday, August 13th. So he's doing like a little mini tour of the East Coast area, Baltimore, DC, and New York. So I'm really excited to bring this music to you. I recorded this via Skype a couple of weeks ago, and I know he's really excited about coming to visit this area. So without further ado, also don't forget to check back for more episodes. You can subscribe on iTunes to the Jazzcast, or you can go to my website, which is jazztothebone.com, or follow me on Twitter, which is at jazztothebone, and you can see when we're posting up new episodes. Next week will be an interview with Christy DeShiel. So I hope you guys check back soon, and thank you guys for listening, and I hope you enjoy. Well, do you have any other pieces you'd like us to play now of your own music that you've written?
Yeah, I'll play you a track of mine. This is from Horizon Art Orchestra's first and only album. It's called Live at the Bird, which is the venue that we recorded at. This track is called Now I've Told You.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, again, it's out of the, I guess, the Bob Brookmeyer school a little bit. It's a, sort of a fast swinging tune. With lots of dense ensemble playing and then trumpet feature and drum feature. There's just a lot of energy to this track. The guys in the band really put it in for this. I think it was the first track we played on the night, so everyone was quite edgy, a little bit nervous, mm-hmm. sort of getting going, and then, yeah, sort of launched into this to start off. I'm really happy with how it turned out. Thank you.
So tell me a little bit more about it. Tell me who's on it.
The trumpet player they heard featured is Callum Gaffrere. And the drummer is Peter Evans.
What's the instrumentation that
you use? The instrumentation is three trumpets, two trombones and French horn, and then actually five saxophones in this one, and then four-piece rhythm section.
And then can you tell me who else is on the recording in addition to Callum Gaffrere and Peter Evans? Or
yep,
do you want to come back later to that?
No, I can go through them. All right, so on saxophone, there was Mark Osborne, Daniel Connor, Sean Little, Jeremy Trezona, and Brett Smith.
Okay.
Trumpets was myself, Callum Gaffrere, and Andrew Joya.
Okay.
French horn was Catherine Lane.
Mm-hmm.
Trombones, Cameron Boomer and Rob Coleman. And then rhythm section of Jeremy Thompson on guitar, Lewis Moody on piano, Robin Murray on bass, and Peter Evans on drums.
Okay. Awesome. Well, thanks for letting us know about all those people. And then I'm sure, if you would like, I'd like you to tell us a little bit about how you got it recorded. You know, it looks like it was a live recording. So where was this recorded at, and how did you manage that?
Yep. So yeah, this was a live recording. It's at a venue in Perth called The Bird.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a smallish music venue. They do a lot of rock gigs and folk gigs and singer-songwriter gigs there.
Mm-hmm.
So we squeezed onto the stage. I think the saxophones are on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
We played for about 90 minutes and then picked five tracks out of the live recording. We didn't mic up everyone individually. We just kind of had a few overheads,
mm-hmm.
A few out the front, sort of capture the room sound a bit more. I think it worked fairly effectively.
Yeah, it sounds fine. Yeah, sounds great.
And then to sort of fund that, we ran a crowdfunding campaign,
mm-hmm.
to get the money to finish the mixing and artwork and reproduction of the CD, which was really, it was really nice to be able to get so many people to support it. We sort of did like a pre-order of the album,
mm-hmm.
And I forget how much we raised. Maybe around probably only $600-$800 or something, but it was enough to fund the album, to get it out there. Yeah.
Great. And what was that, a crowdfunding on like what, Kickstarter, or is there a different type of platform?
Yeah, there was Australia? That started in Australia called Pozible, Pozible. Very similar to Kickstarter, that, you know, you put in your targets and you make a little video and then give people rewards for how much they pledge.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's great. And as far as the microphones and all that, did you set that up yourself or did you get an audio engineer?
We had an audio engineer in there helping us out. His name's Chris Wright, and he works, I think he does the sound most nights at that venue as well, so he knew what he was doing, and he was, really helpful, and then we got him to mix the album as well.
Oh, great.
He did a great job.
Yeah, he did. Great, and so tell me a little bit about this song. What is it about?
Now I've Told You.
Mm-hmm.
The title I picked out of a TV show I was watching. I forget what happened, but one of the characters sort of, I think he swam out to this girl who was, you know, sitting on or floating in a pool or something. And I forget exactly what he said. And then he said, "Now I've told you," and swam off again. I was like, that's a great line. And I was halfway through writing this piece.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Sorry, it's been a while since I've talked about this piece, but it actually was... I did an arrangement of Bob Dylan's It Ain't Me, Babe.
Oh, okay.
And then from that arrangement, I then used that as a starting point for this tune. So it's kind of a two steps away from the original Bob Dylan track.
Interesting.
And then, I thought that line responded to that title in a way.
Great. Awesome. Okay, do you have any other songs that you'd like to share with us of your own music?
Yeah, I'll play you one more. It's called Navarak. This one's, well, the title itself is Caravan Backwards, and it was inspired by the Art Blakey Jazz Messengers recording of Caravan.
Oh, okay.
So I took the voicing in the horns, because it was tenor sax, trombone and trumpet, mm-hmm. and they were voiced, I think it's like a perfect fourth, and a major seventh or something, or a major seventh on the outside and a perfect fourth on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
So I took that voicing and sort of wrote a melody using that sound. And then I also took the idea of going from sort of the Afro-Cuban feel into a double-time swing feel,
mm-hmm.
For the bridge. So I sort of stole those two ideas from Caravan, from that recording of Caravan,
mm-hmm.
and then sort of, yeah, expanded out from that. And I forget who's soloing on this one. I think it's a piano solo. Yeah, Lewis Moody on piano, and then Jeremy Trezona on soprano saxophone. Who definitely doesn't hold back on this one. He's, yeah, goes for it.
Thank you.
Well, that's fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing all this music with us. And thank you for giving us a little bit of insight in what you were doing. Just kind of a blanket question. Anything else that you want to share about your music or philosophies on music or anything more in detail about Navarak that you'd like to talk about?
Maybe I'll mention I'm doing another gig on August 12th in Baltimore at Andy Music with the Brad Lindy Expanded Ensemble.
Oh, okay.
And we're going to play through the music with a slightly different instrumentation and do some of his or that group's music as well.
Mm-hmm. So when you come down August 11th, are you going to have... an instrumentation for a typical big band setup, or are you gonna have
French horn? No, we're gonna use the just the setup of the Bohemian Caverns group.
Oh, okay.
And then for the second gig, we're gonna tinker with the instrumentation and get a French horn and bass clarinet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. And okay, so that's on D Music. So. Anybody listening, if you live in Baltimore, come out August 12th to On D Music to hear these songs. Are you going to be performing songs from this album like you just had us listen to?
I think we're doing Now I've Told You. I think we're going to do that one, and then the rest is new stuff that is sort of written after this album was put out.
Wow.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about your compositional process. What can you talk a little bit about how you go about doing that?
Yeah, sure. I'm big on sort of planning the piece before you start writing the notes. So I like to have a really strong idea of either, you know, it could be anything. It could be a musical idea. It could be a political idea,
mm-hmm.
or an emotional response to something. But have something, a reason for starting to write the piece. And then I sort of try and find out what sounds I like that represent different aspects of that. So it might be, you know, I'll sit at the piano and sort of improvise some melodies and see if anything sort of fits that idea, or try and find a sort of a harmonic idea that I really like that I think suits that. And it could be anything. I think one of my pieces is based upon, again, major sevenths sort of in parallel a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Then another piece I wrote was based off a repeating interval figure of, again, or a couple actually, and they could have moved.
Hello?
Rhythmic feels.
Oh, I just lost you there. You said a repeating figure, and then they kind of said, I think you said moved something, but what did you say after that?
Yeah, so a repeated figure that I sort of represented in different ways, sort of in different grooves or feels. I sort of moved that around the orchestra or the big band. And then actually another piece that I'll be performing on August 11 and 12, I based off Steve Reich's clapping music.
Mm, okay.
I'm like familiar with that. That sort of repeating little rhythmic cell that then gets displaced upon itself So I sort of used that as a starting point. Again, and then sort of, yeah, worked out the harmony that I wanted and some melodic ideas, and I like to play with those ideas a lot, so I'll improvise a lot with those things sort of at the piano or on my trumpet, and then sort of get to writing the actual notes in the piece.
Interesting.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of work that goes in before I decide, okay, the first note is a G flat in tenor sax 2 or something, you know, before I get to that point, there's a lot of work before that. Yeah, sure. So I guess I'm heavily influenced by sort of all the the big names, sort of from Count Basie was, you know, the first big band that I really loved. Mm-hmm. And then sort of that grew into Thad Jones, Mel Lewis Orchestra, mm-hmm. and the Village Vanguard. And then, yeah, the Bob Brookmeyer, who again sort of is in that lineage. Mm-hmm. And then John Hollenbeck and Maria Schneider and Darcy James Argue, I think their music's, had a fairly large impact on how I write for big band. Mm-hmm. Then aside from that, I'm actually a little bit fairly interested in sort of some 20th century music, sort of from Claude Debussy, Ravel, Stravinsky, sort of that kind of more recent classical tradition. Mm-hmm. I think harmonically there's a lot of ideas, and the way that they can use the colours in the orchestra, I think is something that can sort of be taken across into the big band world quite effectively, with the use of different effects on the instruments and sort of doubling in the woodwinds and mutes in the brass and effects on the guitar and on the keyboard. You can to really create different sound worlds for each piece, which is, I think, where the music's heading. Mm-hmm. Really creating an individual sound for each piece of music is something that I like to strive towards, I guess. I don't think I'm quite there, but it's something that really intrigues me.
An art orchestra, do they play around Perth mostly, or I mean Melbourne, or what kind of venues do you guys have?
This band's in Perth. I started it when I was still living in Perth, just before I moved across, so I sort of did it. There's a couple of us who run it, so we were sort of doing it by correspondence for a while, and then I'd fly over to do the concerts.
Oh, okay.
Which worked for a while. I think the band doesn't play as often anymore. I think the core of the band is actually kind of dispersed around the world. There's a couple of people studying in New York and in LA and living in Melbourne. So it's hard to get everyone in the same spot at the same time anymore.
Yeah, really.
Which is a bit of a shame, but I'm sure it'll sort of come around again. And once we sort of get to know a few of the younger players in Perth sort of coming through the ranks. Mm-hmm. sort of with that. Like I said before, there's often a large turnover of musicians sort of coming through the academy program,
mm-hmm.
Sort of learning their trade on the scene and then moving away. So yeah, we're still, I guess we're in a state of, a constant state of flux, maybe is a good way to put it. yeah, but we play sort of the local jazz club. We've played there. There's a couple of other venues that do a little bit of experimental music rather than jazz music, and we've played there as well. Yeah, I think we don't take ourselves too seriously. I think we can sort of play wherever there's space, basically.
Yeah, really, that's the problem, is finding a room big enough.
And if it might have a piano, that's a bonus, but
yeah. And so can you tell us a little bit about your Banff experience?
Yeah, sure. So I went to Banff in Canada in 2013 for the Workshop in Jazz and Creative Music, sort of led by pianist Vijay Iyer.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that was really amazing because I got to meet all these people from Canada and America, and I think this year Brazilians and a couple of people from France as well. So, and plenty of Australians as well, some of whom that I'd never met before. So that was really nice as well.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a really great 3 weeks where we just played.
Hello?
About the
okay,
most,
wait, it just dropped out again.
Dropped out again.
Yeah, sorry, but it was, you had just said it was a really great 3 weeks where we just sort of played and then.
Yeah, so yeah, over the 3 weeks we played and listened to and talked about jazz music that's around today and how that relates sort of to looking back and also looking forward. And it was just an absolutely mind-bending experience. We had seminars every day for around 3 or 4 hours. Then we had 2-hour rehearsals. Then at night there'd be 3 sets at the club and then a jam session at the end.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest thing was being able to meet with all these absolutely brilliant musicians from around the world.
Mm-hmm.
Who are doing really incredible things and really sort of cutting edge ideas. So it was, yeah, really eye opening. And I'm still thinking of the lessons that I learned there every couple of days, or not maybe every week, something else would sort of come up and go, oh, I remember hearing that in Banff and I think I understand that now. Or
yeah,
what was that thing that teacher said about something? And, you just have these moments like, oh, that's still, I'm still processing all that information. I think that was the biggest thing. There was just so much information coming out. It was kind of trying to see what sticks and then sort of what has to come a bit later once you're in a different area, yeah.
Great. Well, that's wonderful. And I know that was a very inspiring session for a lot of people, not just yourself, but I know of other people too that went, that became out of it totally energized and really inspired.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, it really makes you feel good about making music and the importance of doing it and doing it 100% and doing it not just as something you love, but something that you love is important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I wanted to also ask if you had any books that you've read lately that you like. If not, that's okay. But that in there.
Yeah. I just finished a book. Flying over from Australia is a long flight, so I just finished a book on the plane. It's actually by a set of interviews with a classical pianist called Daniel Barenboim, and he was talking about playing and conducting and how he sees sort of the old music of Beethoven and Bach and Brahms as relevant today. And sort of really giving really thorough answers as to how he sees that relevance, and also some interesting theories just on sort of sound and music in general. The book's called Parallels and Paradoxes.
Hmm.
And I it's not exactly my interest in sort of the sort of historical classical music, but I took a lot out of it just from hearing this. He's an incredible musician. If you ever hear a recording of him play, he's an incredible interpreter, and I think that's what was valuable, is how he's interpreting old music. Yeah.
Great. And what brings you over to the United States?
I'm actually doing at the currently at a festival called the Atlantic Music Festival, mm-hmm. Which is a big kind of community where we've got, I think there's 40 sort of composers, mm-hmm. Come from mainly in the States, but a few from overseas as well, like me. And we again sort of directed at the more contemporary classical field, and we're getting seminars and one-on-one lessons, and the orchestra here is reading a piece of ours, and there's a small chamber group that's also reading and recording a new piece of everyone's here. So again, I'm meeting a lot of people that hopefully will lead to bigger and better things, mm-hmm. while also, you know, learning a lot of stuff and meeting a lot of fantastic sort of experienced composers from the States. And yeah, I guess it's similar to the Banff program in that, you know, you get to meet a lot of people and talk about a lot of music and listen to a lot of music and just sort of get away from the day-to-day grind of, you know, doing all the admin stuff or the hours of practice that you have to put in just to keep up your, mm-hmm. your strength, or you know, doing the teaching that you might not be 100% into, or doing the shitty part-time job. Sorry, the not-so-fun part-time job that pays the bills. You know, you just sort of get away from that and escape to this fantasy land where you just do music all day, every day.
My last question is, do you have any apps that you like to use or that you recommend?
Unfortunately not. I'm not that tech savvy with my phones and devices. Okay. My phone can barely, I mean, it does the job, but it's a bit temperamental, so... I think the most elaborate thing it does, it'll tell me when my tram's about to come back in Melbourne or when the train's due.
Okay.
That's about as high tech as I'll go on that.
Awesome. All right. Well, that's good, because that means you can focus on music.
True.
You know, it can be a distraction.
Yes.
So anyway, well, thank you so much for this wonderful interview and for taking time out of your busy day and all of your activities. And the people down here in Washington, D.C. are really looking forward to having you come down and reading some of your music at the Bohemian Caverns Jazz Orchestra. So many thanks also to Brad Lindy for recommending you to me as a possible interviewee.
Yep.
And many thanks to you and to the musicians and composers in Australia for, you know, writing such amazing music and then sharing it with us.
So. Hey, you're most welcome. I'm really, really glad to talk to you, and it's great to be able to share some of the stuff that I know so well to a new set of ears.
Yeah, well, I'm super excited for this podcast and for the new music that we can hear, and to be able to share this and try to give it a positive push. So.
Yeah.
All right, well, thank you so much.
Thanks, Shannon. It's really great.
Okay, thank you for listening. I wanted to just make sure everybody caught the fact that the dates were wrong in this recording, because they added the Jazz Gallery. So they're going to be performing, his music is going to be performed on August 11th at Bohemian Caverns. August 12th is in New York City at the Jazz Gallery. And then August 13th is at On D Music, and they added the Jazz Gallery kind of like after we recorded the interview. So, all right, well, I hope you guys enjoyed it. Please check back for more and subscribe on iTunes, and I shall see you next week. Have a good day.